are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I am Patricia Traina, and I cover your New York Giants for a variety of places. You can follow all my work by following me on Twitter at Patricia_Traina. And welcome to our Friday show. We have a little something different, something new that I want to try. Basically, it's the week that was. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to devote each segment of the show to a specific quote. You're going to hear from a specific player in each segment. And then we're going to talk a little bit about it, what was said, what it means, and just some thoughts in general, you know, some perspectives, I guess you could say, on the various quotes. So be sure to let me know what you think about it. You can always hit me up on Twitter at Patricia_Traina, or you can send me feedback by email at LockedOnGiantsPodcast@gmail.com. So with that said, let's jump right into our first audio clip. We're going to hear from quarterback Eli Manning, who earlier in the week was asked about his future. So let's hear what he had to say.
Expect to start until I'm told not to. So that's the way I expect to start this week. Expect to play. Looking forward to playing and go from there.
Is there anything? Would you understand though, if like, you know, mathematically the playoffs are hard, and
I want to play, and that's what y'all can speculate, and y'all can what if, and hey, it's not my decision.
All right, so that's Eli Manning when he was asked about whether or not he expected to start this week against the Chicago Bears. Head coach Pat Shurmur has already declared that Eli will start, and what you unfortunately couldn't see, and I don't know if you could hear it in his voice, but Eli was shaking his head on that second question, that follow-up question about would you understand with the playoffs out of, you know, basically they're not out of reach, but they're a long shot for the playoffs. So, you know, Eli was asked, would you understand if the coach has made a decision? And Eli just kind of shook his head. You could tell he was kind of frustrated with the question. But, you know, here are some thoughts that I have regarding this whole quarterback situation. Number one, I've said all along that the Giants will not move on from Eli Manning so long as they are mathematically alive for the playoffs, which they still are. I mean, again, it's a long shot. You know, they didn't do themselves any favors by losing to Philadelphia last week, but they are still mathematically alive, and there is still a chance. And as long as there is a chance, you are going to see number 10 behind center. Now, should they at some point take a look at what they have behind Eli Manning? The answer is yes. I do believe they should. But here's what's kind of interesting. You know, I asked offensive coordinator Mike Shula today regarding how they know which guys, you know, are ready to play. And by that I mean, you know, the coaching staff keeps talking about, look, we're focused on the current week's opponent. We're not worried about, anything other than staying in the moment. And I said to myself, well, you got to be evaluating. And I know they're evaluating these guys. They're trying to look at them in practice and determine who's going to move up on the depth chart and who's not. But I wanted to ask when Mike Shula spoke to the media, I wanted to know, you know, what goes into that equation? You know, do they maybe look at what happens in the classroom? Are the guys, you know, are the assignments and the game uniforms based on, you know, who has the better understanding of the game plan and, you know, versus who doesn't? And Shula kind of gave me a quick answer to that. He said, all of our guys are expected to execute what's on the game plan. Well, duh, we know that. I mean, they're expected. But my point that I was trying to get at with him is that sometimes, I know from the past at any rate, if a player wasn't grasping what was being taught in the classroom, he generally didn't move up the depth chart. And that's what I was trying to kind of get an understanding of, is how this coaching staff determines who's going to move up the depth chart and who's not, and what criteria they use. So unfortunately, Shula didn't quite give me the answer, or a clear enough answer. I will try maybe and circle back with Pat Shermer on that at some point, but you know, I think it's a valid question. But regarding Eli Manning, I know a lot of fans want to see Eli take a seat. And, you know, the reality of it right now is the coaches feel that he gives them the best chance to win. And, you know, coming up on a later show, maybe towards the end of the year, I'm going to talk about, you know, the transition plan for Eli. I'm actually working on a story for that, looking at some different scenarios ranging from actually extending Eli a year to lower his cap number next year, which I know a lot of people aren't going to be too happy to hear, but I do think that is still a possibility. Another possibility is, you know, just keeping Eli as is, because, you know, this quarterback class coming up in the draft, from what I understand, there's not a whole lot of enthusiasm for it. It's, you know, it's a class that a lot of people don't feel is as good as the class from 2018. Now, remember, the class is not complete because the juniors haven't declared yet, so there is a possibility that it will get better. But I just feel that, you know, Eli is probably going to finish out his contract with the Giants. I would be very, very surprised if he doesn't. And if he doesn't finish out his contract with the Giants, I think it's going to be his choice to retire, you know, because, look, you know, the Dave Gettleman has given Eli Manning, you know, Saquon Barkley, which, you know, Eli hasn't had a running game to take some of the load off of him. It's you can make an argument since, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw left in, I think it was 2012. You know, he has Odell Beckham Jr. You know, Evan Ingram has kind of been a little disappointing this year, you know, had a little bit of an off year. But, you know, he does have weapons. Eli does have weapons. What he did not have throughout the year was a stable offensive line. The line has gotten a little bit better since this latest shuffle with Jamon Brown being added in and Spencer Pulley going in at center. But I think that offensive line is going to be redone again, especially, you know, I think, you know, center could be up for grabs. I think right tackle will be up for grabs. And it's going to just be interesting. And I just get the sense that Giants management wants to give Eli every possible opportunity to succeed. You know, they know what they have in him. They trust him. You know, has he lost something off his fastball? Absolutely. He's not the same quarterback that he was in 2011 when they won the Super Bowl. But again, I think that the reality is that Eli Manning will be a Giant in 2019 unless he decides to retire. And again, folks, I'll have more on the different scenarios. I am writing an article for Forbes on what they can do, you know, what their options are. But right now, the only reason why I'm not going into it in a lot of detail is because there's so many moving parts that we just don't have answers to. And once we start to get some of those answers, such as where the Giants will finish, you know, as far as draft order goes, what the quarterback class will look like, you know, what the free agency class is going to look like, it's really kind of hard to say for sure that this is what's going to happen with the quarterback situation. So that's my two cents on Eli Manning, who says he wants to play, and, you know, he's going to play this week. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to hear from Odell Beckham Jr. So stay with us. The Locked On Podcast Network is doing unprecedented things on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, follow Locked On NFL Net to get all the latest breaking news and game highlights from the Locked On Podcast Network NFL hosts, all on one convenient feed. On Instagram, Locked On NFL Net gives you the biggest stories, including audio cuts as provided by the various Locked On NFL team hosts. Make sure you follow Locked On NFL Net on both Twitter and Instagram to get your daily fill of the NFL. Ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for gambling advice. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win every week, but if you think you know, you've got to check out my bookie.
Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they are your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is very easy to use. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy enthusiasts out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000 when you use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the special offer. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when entering your account to claim your special bonus. MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome back, New York Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. You're with Patricia Traina, and we are covering the week that was. Basically, we're taking quotes, audio quotes, from your favorite players relevant to what's going on with the New York Giants, and we'll hear from them. And I'll have a few thoughts, you know, some perspectives on what was said. So in segment two, we're going to take an opportunity now to hear from Odell Beckham Jr., who on Thursday was asked about the type of year he's having. And here's what Odell had to say.
Yeah, I don't feel like it's quite there. You know, each year I come in, 1,000 yards is a minimum. I don't look at like, oh, I need to get 1,000 yards. Like, I'm trying to see how many. My season starts after 1,000 yards. I'm trying to see how many yards I get after 1,000. 10 touchdowns minimum, that's just the goal. But for me, this year I came in with the mindset of being efficient, being in there, like, you know, when I was in college and making plays. It's 3rd and 11. All right, bam, I hit this first down, keep this drive alive. Just being effective and efficient. And like I said, it's not been a down year. You know, my numbers are still my numbers, but I guess that's where my mindset is different than everybody else. You know, I expect way higher of myself. I expect, you know, I'm trying to reach 2,000 yards. I'm trying to go for 20 touchdowns. 100 receptions is tatted on me. You know, that those are goals that, you know, hopefully in my career, in my future, along with championships, you know, winning. Because numbers really don't mean anything without winning. You know, you can go home with 300 yards in a game with an L. It's not going to feel good. So it's really all about winning, and I just feel like, you know, I could have had a better year so far, but this is where I'm at. You just got to deal with that and just keep pushing to keep getting better day by day, work on your craft. That's all I can really do.
All right. One of the things you got to love about Odell Beckham Jr. is he really, truly wants to be the best receiver in the NFL. And, you know, you look at the numbers that he has posted and how he keeps breaking new franchise records. And you say to yourself, how can this guy not be satisfied with what he's doing? You know, what's he thinking? And you know what? Odell is a very smart player who's very much aware of, you know, his numbers, his stats, his contributions. And I really give him a lot of credit. And I looked up some numbers here from Pro Football Focus. And some of these numbers are actually, you know, you can kind of see why Odell would feel the way he does about wanting to do more and not having done enough to help the team. First number that I was able to find is that Odell has the fourth most pass targets, 111, behind Adam Thielen, Antonio Brown, and Julio Jones, all of whom are tied for first. So the narrative that Odell doesn't get the ball a lot or enough is really not accurate based on these numbers. Okay, so what has he done with the numbers? And why would Odell say that I haven't done enough? Well, what I did was I drilled down the list of top receivers to those who have taken at least 80% of their team's pass targets. So that came out to 10 guys. All right. Now, out of those top 10, Odell is 7th in receiving yards with 1,017. He is 7th in touchdown receptions with 5. He is 8th in receiving percentage with 66.7% of his passes caught. He is tied for 5th in drops with 3, tied for second in passes that were intended for him that went for interceptions with two. He is eighth in quarterback rating when a quarterback targets him. So they have a passer rating of 99.6. And he is eighth in yards after the catch with 308 yards after the catch. So you can kind of see why Odell would say, you know, I haven't done enough. I haven't contributed enough. Really a guy who you know, stands up there and wants to do right by his team, wants to make every play. You know, people will look at him and say, oh, you know, he's a cancer, he's this, you know, he's checking out early for his IVs and everything like that. But having gotten to, you know, to understand Odell a little bit better and look at the numbers and just kind of match the numbers behind what he said, I can kind of see where he's coming from. You know, looking at his career grades right now from Pro Football Focus, and again, just looking at him real quick, the yards per reception stand at 13.7, which is up slightly from his 2016 number. I'm throwing out 2017 because he didn't play a full season that year. You know, he had the ankle injury. But so his yards per reception are up 13.7, but still that's a career low for a fairly full season. His yards after the catch, again, 308, nowhere near his career high in 2015 when he had 591. Yards per reception are down 4.2. Let's see, number of first downs look like they're down a little bit. He's got 49 first downs compared to career high of 68, which he logged in 2015 and 2016. The drops are down, which is good. I mean, his career low was 2014, his rookie season, when he had two. He only has three, as I mentioned. And he's been pretty good with not fumbling. He hasn't fumbled the ball. And he's also cut down on his penalties. Now, in terms of the yardage, going back to his core stats, let's see, the 66.7% is his second highest percentage since his rookie season when he caught 70.5%. The yards are off. You know, he did hit 1,000 yards, which is the fourth time in his five seasons in the league that he's done that. And again, we throw out 2017 because he didn't have an opportunity to do the full game and get the 1,000 yards. But he has 1,017, not quite anywhere near what he had in 2015 when he had the career high 1,450. So, I can see where Odell is coming up with this. Now, what's interesting about this whole scenario is how the Giants have been using Odell. You know, you can look at the numbers and they only tell part of the story, as is usually the case with any statistic. And what the Giants have basically been doing with Odell that just makes you scratch your head is they've kind of turned him into a possession receiver. They haven't really run him as deep as often as you think they would. You know, I think I saw a stat on Pro Football Focus that they've thrown to him deep on just 20 passes. All right, 20 passes out of 111 pass targets. That's not nearly enough. So they've been keeping him underneath. Now, whether that's a function of the offensive line being shaky or, you know, whether that's a function of just how this offense runs. I know earlier in the season, the offense ran from low to high, meaning that the quarterback was instructed to look at the guys underneath faster before going to the deeper or the high receivers up further up the field. So, you know, maybe that had something to do with it. I don't know. But what I do know is when I watch how Odell Beckham Jr. has been used in this offense, I just don't know that they're getting optimal usage out of him. I feel that, you know, they can send him out on more deep routes. You know, of course, you know, the offensive line does have to protect the quarterback, keep him upright so that he can take those 5 and 7 step drops to connect on those deep routes. But it just seems like, you know, they've got to get more out of Odell. And Odell knows that, you know, it's not, I'm not, you know, trying to be harsh with my critique of him here. He knows that he has to do more. And it's good to see, you know, we talk about Odell and we question, you know, is this guy a leader? Does he want to be a leader? And I really think he's trying to do that. And it's nice when, you know, a player stands up there and says, I can do more. I need to do more. And that's what he's doing. So hat tip to him. And here's hoping in these last few games that the coaches continue to use him more of the way that I think he could be more effective with those deep passes and just keep getting him the ball, getting the ball into his hands and let him do his thing, because this kid wants it. He's hungry. You know, he wants to be great. And I think if he's given those opportunities, he will be. All right, Giant fans, we're going to take a quick time out. Come back segment three with one more. We'll hear from head coach Pat Shurmur, because there is, by the way, a game to be played this Sunday. So we'll hear from him and some thoughts that he had about the Chicago Bears who come to the Giants to face them at MetLife Stadium 1 p.m. on Sunday. So stay with us. Welcome back, New York Giant fans, to Locked On Giants with Patricia Traina, and you are listening to the week that was over in Giants land. So we've already heard from Eli Manning and Odell Beckham Jr., who spoke to the media this week, as they always do. And in this segment, we're going to actually hear a couple of clips from head coach Pat Shurmur on the Chicago Bears, who of course visit the Giants at MetLife Stadium this weekend. And the first clip that I'm going to play for you is about a gentleman by the name of Khalil Mack, a guy who can single-handedly wreck a football game all by his lonesome. So let's hear what Coach had to say, and then I'll come back with you with some thoughts.
No, I mean, he's obviously a very good player. He's got a good first step. You know, he can bull rush you, you know, and go and then work your edge, or he can just work your edge. And then I think what he does a good job of is keeping his feet moving. And then as the play develops, being in a position to either sack the quarterback or find the running back. So, no, he's a really good player.
So the big question is how do the Giants deal with Khalil Mack? Well, here's the thing, folks. I don't like the matchup between Khalil Mack and the Giants' offensive tackles. And Mack, by the way, is probably going to line up more across from left tackle Nate Solder than Chad Wheeler, who can still expect to see Mack, but probably not as much as Solder will. And one of the reasons why I don't like this matchup is because Solder has struggled with speed rushers, which is what Mack brings to the table. So in having looked at some film, and I wrote an article for The Athletic kind of breaking down how I think the Giants might approach stopping Khalil Mack, or at least minimizing his damage. I'm not sure that you can actually stop him. Is I fully expect the Giants to use a lot of 12 personnel, which, of course, is one running back, two tight ends. So you got to get tight end help on Mack. You've got to chip the guy. You can't let him just, you know, shoot into the gaps and disrupt things, in the backfield. If you do, you're asking for all kinds of problems. Now, here's the other, factor. If the Bears just had Khalil Mack and no one else, I'd say, you know, the game plan's pretty simple. Do something similar to what you did against Tampa Bay and Jason Pierre-Paul, where you run some misdirections, you roll the quarterback out to the opposite direction and whatnot. The problem is the Bears have such a good defense with so many playmakers who are just capable of just disrupting things and wrecking the game for the offense. You know, a guy to keep an eye on is Akeem Hicks. Another guy to keep an eye on is Leonard Floyd, who Giant fans will remember was rumored to be high on the Giants' wish list a few years ago before the Bears jumped up and got him. So the question is what do you do? You can only devote so many resources to each guy. And anytime you have to double up a guy, you know, as will probably be the case with Mac, that means you're trusting the rest of your guys to have one-on-one opportunities and to beat the men in front of them. So what you kind of have to do is you're going to have to play your percentages, so to speak. So in other words, the Giants' interior offensive line has played fairly well. I mean, they've had some hiccups here and there, but I think that unit or that part of the unit has become more of a strength than the tackles. So if I'm the coaching staff, I probably trust the interior, Jamon Brown, Spencer Pulley, and Will Hernandez with the one-on-one blocking assignments. And I give my two tackles the tight end help. I give them, you know, some chipping help from the running back if need be. I do whatever I can to slow down Khalil Mack because, like I said, he can just absolutely wreck a game single-handedly. The other thing that again, you need to keep an eye on is Leonard Floyd on the other side. Now, Leonard Floyd has not had the type of year that I think the Bears were expecting him to have, but, you know, he still had a fairly good year. But there's an opportunity, I think, that, you know, if you can devote one-on-one blocking and get the guys blocked up, I think it'll work out for them. And the other thing I'll just quickly say is I went back and I looked at Chad Wheeler's performance against Khalil Mack last year when Mack, of course, was with the Oakland Raiders. And Wheeler was responsible for giving up the one sack in that game. And if you remember correctly, that was the game in which Geno Smith started ahead of Eli Manning. And one of the things Wheeler did against Mack, who would often line up wide against him, is that Wheeler had his feet almost like they were stuck in the mud. And I think, you know, if he goes back and he looks at what he did against Mack, just keep moving your feet. Keep mirroring the guy in front of you. And above all, don't bend at the waist, because if you're bending at the waist and you're an offensive tackle or an offensive lineman trying to block a defender, especially a speed rusher, guess what? You're not going to have any leverage. So hopefully when Wheeler goes back and looks at that tape, he sees that, you know, he corrects any mistakes. And if he does go up against Khalil Mack, he gets that corrected. Okay, so moving on, I want to play one more clip from Pat Shurmur. This one is on the Bear quarterback situation. Now, before I play this, disclaimer, the Bears at the time hadn't declared Mitch Trubisky out of the game. He's been dealing with an injury. So since this clip was recorded, Chase Daniel has already been named the starter for Sunday's game. So let's hear what Shurmur had to say when he was asked about how do you prepare your game plan when you're not sure which quarterback you're going to face.
No, I think the offense that they run is very familiar. I've coached in the West Coast system, you know, where Matt came from with Andy Reid, but he's also got his offensive coordinator. He's a guy from the Oregon family that I worked in that system with Chip. So I see elements of both. You know, they've gotten to more of a zone read type run game. Their run game will be very similar to what we faced against Philadelphia, very similar in a lot of ways because Doug and Matt and Andy were all together recently. And so, you know, recognize the plays they're running. Certainly we have to defend them, and they've done a really good job. They've got some talented guys that they get the ball to. I think the real challenge when you play against a guy like Trubisky is if it's not there, I think he's got the most rushing yards of any quarterback. He'll pull it down and run with it. He's got a good set of legs that'll either keep a drive alive or they can use him in the zone read game. Whether they choose to do it because he's coming back from the shoulder thing, I don't know, but we'll need to prepare for it.
Okay, a couple quick thoughts on the quarterback situation. Number one, the offense doesn't change that much when you take out the starting quarterback and put the backup in. You might tweak a few things here and there. For example, I believe Trubisky is more of a of a quarterback who is inclined to take off with the ball versus Daniels, who is pretty much more of a pocket passer. But here's a couple of other things that I think we need to take into consideration. Number one, you got to remember the Bears are coming off of a mini bye week. They last played on Thanksgiving against the Lions, so they have had plenty of time to bring Chase Daniel up to speed if he wasn't already up to speed. And again, I have to think that he is up to speed, you know, if he's sitting in the same quarterback room as Trubisky. I think the other thing we have to take into consideration regarding the quarterbacks is the Giants' pass rush has been virtually non-existent. And, you know, the coverage has been okay, but the Giants are just not getting to the quarterback. And that's a big factor. Regardless of who the quarterback is behind center, if you're not getting after him, you know, it doesn't really matter who's standing back there. I mean, I could probably stand back there and have all day to throw and make some throws and be successful if nobody's, you know, getting in my face and rushing me. So I just don't think, you know, bottom line is I just don't think that the difference in quarterback is going to matter in this particular game, in this particular instance. The Bears, you know, they're going to mix in the run, obviously. You know, they've got a decent offensive line who should be able to get the protection. And unless the Giants defense really just steps up and channels the intensity of a playoff-bound defense, and just, you know, gets after Daniels, gets after, you know, jams the receivers, jams the tight ends, has the linebackers come up and fill holes and stop that run, you know, from being gashed up the middle. I just don't think it's going to matter that much, folks. I think, you know, the Bears, with or without Trubisky, have a very, very good chance of topping the Giants this week. Hopefully I'm wrong. I would love nothing better than to write about a Giant victory and talk about a Giant victory on Monday when the show returns, but time will tell, certainly. All right, Giant fans, on that note, we will call it a show. Want to thank you for tuning in, as always, and listening. And be sure to let me know what you think of the show. If you have an idea, suggestion, something you want to hear, if you have a question, send me an email, lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com, or tweet it to me at Patricia_Traina, T-R-A-I-N-A, and tag it AskPTrain. We'll be back next week. We'll break down the Giants and Bears game on Sunday. Ed Valentine will be joining me, or is scheduled to be joining me, on Monday to do that. Tuesday will be Twitter Tuesday. On Wednesday, of course, will be the crossover show with the Washington, or I should say the Locked On Redskins host. And then we'll just see what the rest of the week brings for next week. I'm working on having a draft show or two, because I know, again, a lot of you are interested in that. So I will keep you posted. So have a good weekend. Patricia Traina signing off.